I hope this message blesses you, so let's dive right in.
Our God is a God, as Amy just testified, of supernatural intervention. He's the God of miracles. He's the God who does things supernaturally. Because God created everything, he's not governed by natural principles. So he is supernatural, and he can do whatever he wants. Amen? And us who know him, who are in covenant with him, know that he acts on our behalf. He intervenes and he moves powerfully so that he gets glory. And this passage in Isaiah 54 describes that. It says this, starting in verse 1, says, "Sing, O barren, you who have not borne. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited." This prophetic word is describing a barren woman with no husband. So she has zero ability to have children. One, because she does not have a husband. And two, because she is physically unable. And yet God comes and speaks and says, "You will have more children than the one who has a husband." The most powerful thing in all of the world is the word of the Lord. Think about it. The moment that God speaks, it changes everything. When he spoke, the world came into existence. So when God speaks a word to you, that word is supernatural and carries the power and the backing and the favor of God, and that word overrides every other word. Amen? The most powerful force in all of the universe is the word of the Lord. There is nothing more powerful than God, of course, and when he speaks his word. Now, this prophecy here in Isaiah 54, it's really not to a particular barren woman. It's actually more of a prophetic parable. It's a metaphor. But really, this prophecy was initially spoken by the prophet Isaiah to the nation of Israel, but we know that these things have been fulfilled by Jesus Christ, and that we actually, now that we are in covenant with God and grafted into the people of Israel, these prophecies are now for us. In fact, the Apostle Paul quotes from Isaiah 54 to talk about how we are those children. We are the descendants that have been born of the Holy Spirit by grace. So the Apostle Paul will often do this. This is why many times in terms of your ministry or to ministers, to churches, God will speak through the prophet Isaiah, because there are so many prophecies in the book of Isaiah that are about what God is doing on the earth right now. This is why the Apostle Paul's calling comes from Isaiah. This is why Jesus' own ministry mission statement came from Isaiah. This is why so many churches will hear the Lord speaking to them about what God wants them to do through Isaiah. Isaiah 54 happens to be where our church's name comes from. It's where our DNA comes from. It's where our vision statement comes from. Why? Because this is a prophetic statement about God, what God wants to do in and through his church in this generation. And so that's how the Holy Spirit will take from God's word and then speak to us about our part that he wants us to play right now in this generation in St. Louis. So he says to this woman, sing, O barren, you who have not born. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. He tells her, begin to sing, begin to rejoice, get excited, praise the Lord. Why? Because I'm going to do something supernaturally in you. I'm going to heal your barrenness. I'm going to bless you with a husband so that you will produce children. I will do this. So start rejoicing. Listen, people who have hope rejoice before they see the breakthrough. Spiritually mature people understand that joy does not come from my circumstances or my feelings, but joy comes from the Lord. And when he speaks, it changes everything. See, people who believe God's word and understand God's word, the faithfulness, the truthfulness, and the power of God's word, they get excited the moment he speaks. They respond to the Lord and say, oh, I got a word from the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And they begin to rejoice and they begin to get excited like it's already happened because he's spoken and nothing can stop his word. Spiritually mature people, people who have hope, that's eternal hope, anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ himself, like we've been talking about, they rejoice before they see it. This is why we worship God on earth as it is in heaven. We are already rejoicing because my name is written in the book of life. See, so no matter what I'm going through right now, I'm born again. Nothing can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. See, do you understand that as long as you've made Jesus the Lord of your life and you continue to follow him as Lord, you are sealed in him and nothing can separate you from him. I have reason to rejoice. But spiritually immature people will wait to see the result before they rejoice. They will withhold praise from God. They will not exalt and glorify and honor him until they can see it. This is spiritually immature. In fact, I would say that if you base your praise on how you feel, that is idolatry and will lead to rebellion against God. I am amazed how many immature Christians cannot open their mouth and praise the Lord. If I feel like it, I will. If I don't feel like it, I won't. If I see it, I'll do it. If I'm going through a good time, I'll do it. If I'm not going through a good time, I won't do it. And they will withhold glory to God that is due him. Why? Because they don't believe his word. They are following how they feel. They're following what they see with their eyes. They're following their understanding. And they've held God hostage to that. That's not obedience to the Lord. That doesn't honor the Lord. What honors God is when he says, I'm going to do it, you say, oh, really? And you begin to rejoice before you see the result because you know he said it. Do you rejoice? Do you bless God? Are you like Abraham, where it said, against all hope, in hope he believed? He was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Or are you spiritually immature? And base whether you rejoice or not on your feelings. Joy is not just a feeling, though there is a feeling. It's a command. And then it goes on to say, verse 2, enlarge the place of your tent. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand. People who have hope prepare before the breakthrough comes. People who have hope understand that I must sow in order to reap. People who have hope believe the rain is coming, so I better put seed in the ground so it's ready when the rain comes. You understand? Yeah. People who have hope know if God says, hey, I'm going to pay off your debt. Meet me over here at Tuesday at 9 a.m. They're there at Tuesday at 9 a.m. because they believe God. I remember Rick Warren used to always say, you only believe the part of the Bible that you do. Spiritually immature people are waiting around for God to do something. That's not hope. Hope is not wishful thinking. Hope is not passively waiting for God. Hope is an active word. It is eager expectation and anticipation of God will do what he said he will do, and it causes me to get into alignment with God and in position and do exactly what he told me to do, so I will be ready to receive. Let me ask you a question. Are you doing what God has told you to do in your life? People who have hope, people who are spiritually mature, they will do what God has told them to do. If you believe God, you will obey him. Faith always obeys what God says to do. But so many Christians are immature, and they would say, I don't even know what God is saying to me. That's a problem. You hear me? If you do not have the word of the Lord, if you don't know what God is telling you to do, that is a problem. Let me help you. Call to me, and I will show you great and mighty things you do not know. If you don't know what God is saying, ask him. I guarantee on 100%, verily, verily, truly, truly, amen, amen, I say unto you, if you ask him, you will receive. If you call to the Lord and you say, God, I need you. Show me what to do. I guarantee he will show you what to do. But too many people, they're waiting for God to do something. God, do this. God, do that. God, do this. God, do that. Yeah, but what did he tell you to do? First, you have to believe what he said he will do. But when you believe that God has spoken, if you really believe it, okay, Lord, what do you need me to do? Where do we get into alignment? I'm not talking about works. I'm not talking about earning. I'm talking about the obedience of faith. People who believe God do what God said. And this is exactly what he's telling this woman. Start singing. Start rejoicing. Why? Because he's got to get your attitude into alignment with kingdom realities. He's got to get your mindset and your attitude and your words into alignment. And then he begins to tell her, now start to enlarge the place. Get the place ready because the children are coming. And if you believe him, you'll do that. And if you do not believe him, you will not do that. So if a person does not have the word of the Lord, if you don't know what God is saying, you don't know what to do, you don't have the wisdom, you don't, and I get it, life is confusing. And things are complicated. And we need wisdom from God, but he has promised, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who will give liberally and without reproach. If you don't know what to do, ask the Lord. Ask the Lord. How can you say you're following Jesus if you don't have a word to follow? Jesus said, whoever comes to me, hears my sayings, and does them, I will show him his life. He's like a man who built his house on the rock. The person on the sand is not the person who hears the Bible. I'm sorry, the person on the sand is not the person who doesn't hear the Bible. The person who's on the sand is the person who doesn't do what it says. So the first question is, do you know what God is saying? If you don't know what God is saying, you're already in the dark. And we have so much of the word right here. People, so many Christians, so many immature Christians. Oh, yeah, I don't know what God's saying to me. Then are you even spending time with him? Are you in the word? Are you even asking him? Ask. Seek him. And then when you hear from him, now the next question, are you doing it? Now some of you say, no, I am. I haven't seen the breakthrough. Oh, be encouraged then. The breakthrough will come. Do you hear me? Yeah, no, sometimes the discouragement is, but I am rejoicing. The discouragement, but I'm getting these things into alignment, but it's hard. Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Be encouraged that if you are obeying what God has said and it's difficult, oh, you're among a good company. Listen, it will never look like it's going to work. It will never be possible in the natural. But if you do what he says, you will see the breakthrough. Amen?
Amen.
Then it goes on to say this, verse 3, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. And your descendants, catch it here, and your descendants, and your descendants, people who have hope, have caught, this is bigger than me. Spiritually immature people, they're only focused on themselves and what God will do for me. Not like what Amy was saying. Oh, no, no, that's not what we're talking about. God is a good father and we're in covenant with him, and you can be sure he wants to help you, bless you, provide for you, resource you. Oh, absolutely. But it is so much bigger. It's for his kingdom and for his glory. One of the reasons why spiritually immature people become discouraged and offended at God is because they are looking at circumstances. They are looking at how they feel. They are looking at what's happening around them. And the moment it goes hard and the moment that it's not happening for them, they get mad at God. Because why? They think it's all about them. But followers of Jesus Christ who have made him Lord have discovered something, that we lose our life for him and his kingdom and his glory. And he's doing something bigger than us. People who are spiritually mature and have hope in the Lord, they know that God is always working good to work in me, to work for me, and to work through me for other people. And they never lose sight of that. Because this barren woman, God made a promise to her. You will have more children than the married woman, says the Lord. But who is it that's going to inherit the nations? Who is it that's going to transform desolate, broken down communities? He didn't say her. He said the descendants. Meaning that God wants to do something through you that's bigger than you and bigger than your life. Amen? Think about Abraham. Did God bless Abraham? Absolutely, God blessed Abraham. And Sarah, let's throw Sarah in there. Abraham and Sarah. Did God bless them? Absolutely. Took care of them, blessed them financially, all of that in their life. And because he was a friend of God and he walked with God and he obeyed the Lord said, I'm going to give you a son through Sarah. And so did God give Sarah the desire of her heart? Yes, she had Isaac. Did Abraham have the son of promise? Absolutely. But was that really what God had said to Abraham? No. If you know the story, you know that God spoke to Abraham and said, I will bless you and I will make you a blessing. All of the families of the earth shall be blessed through you. Oh yeah, I'll bless you. But what I want to do through you is so much bigger. And then he said to Abraham, your descendants will be like the stars of the sky. Your descendants will be in the multitude of the sand of the seashore. I want you to consider this. I am one of those stars. I am one of those sands of the sea. Born again in 1996, thousands of years after Abraham, but I was in that promise. Amen. God's word to you is so much bigger than you. And the moment you think it's just about me and my little life and my little few decades on this earth and my little ministry, the moment you think that, you forget, this is not about me. This is about our privilege to participate, do our small little part in this big thing that God is doing redemptively on the earth. Amen? And that is what causes a person like Abraham, like Joseph, like Daniel to say, no matter what I'm going through in my life, I will serve the Lord so that he gets glory and other people are impacted. Do you understand? Joseph was saved. I mean, shoot, he should have died twice. I don't know if that's possible, but he should have died twice. And God delivered him from death two times. Should have wallowed in a prison his whole life. Just forgotten in a prison. Or dead. And so God delivered Joseph, delivered him, blessed him. But why was Joseph faithful even in Potiphar's house as a slave? Why faithful in a prison? Because he had a word from the Lord. because he knew his life wasn't bigger than him. Why didn't he kill his brothers when his brothers came? Why did he forgive them? And why did he bless them? Why? Because he knew God has sent me. God sent me ahead of you so that God would use me to save Israel. Do you understand that Joseph understood that God is doing something in me that is bigger than me? Was it really about Joseph being delivered and blessed? Oh, yeah, sure. Or was it really about the nation of Israel being saved and preserved? Do you understand? God is looking for a people, and God is looking for our church to be a people that will give our lives sacrificially for other people.
Well, I hope that message blessed you. And I'm praying for you that you'll be strengthened in your faith and you grow in your relationship with God. And if that did bless you, I want to encourage you. Would you share this with somebody else? In fact, if you would like more content, you can follow me on social media, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. Just search Pastor David Turner.